Many years ago, Chuck Swindoll received sage advice from a mentor in ministry. It came in the form of three simple words that would shape Chuck's Bible teaching. He said, "Chuck, incarnate the truth." In essence, this means to deliver the truth of God, not in esoteric terms, but with flesh on it. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his first message in a biographical study of Solomon. By doing so, he's telling the true story of human struggle. Solomon, we'll see, incarnates the truth. Chuck titled his opening message, "Stepping into Big Sandals."
Now, we're in 2 Chronicles. Go back to chapter 1. Let's observe four things that tell us the Lord was with him. It says in verse 1, "The Lord his God was with him and exalted him greatly. So he was a revered man." Number one, he had wisdom and knowledge. Now, verse 7, very moving account. "In the night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, 'Ask what I shall give you.'" You wonder if he was a wise and godly man? You know right away. Verse 8, Solomon's answer, "Thou hast dealt with my father David with great loving kindness and hast made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God," here's my answer, "Thy promise to my father David is fulfilled, for thou hast made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people." It's a Hebrew idiom meaning that I might walk uprightly, that I might do what is right. For who can rule this great people of thine? That's a humble answer. Could have had anything he asked for, and he said, "Give me wisdom, give me knowledge. Give me a keen mind, and give me the ability to put together truth so that it makes sense and I can pass it on. I can use it." And the Lord's answer is beautiful. Verse 11, "Because you had this in mind and did not ask for riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of those who hate you, nor have you even asked for long life, but you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge that you may rule my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you. And I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings who were before you has possessed, nor those who will come after you." There it is. You wanted wisdom and knowledge? I give it to you, and along with it, I give you riches. And I give you the ability to handle those riches in that whole truth of wisdom and knowledge. Now, chapter 9, same book, verse 1. This is a fabulous account. He's visited by a queen from Africa. "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with difficult questions. She had a very large retinue with camels carrying spices and a large amount of gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was on her heart." So here's Sheba, or the queen of Sheba, as she comes in. "Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from Solomon which he did not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house which he had built, the food at his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his ministers and their attire, his cupbearers and their attire, his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, she was breathless." Wow! I can't believe it. "As she heard him and as she saw the whole beautiful, dignified layout, she was breathless. And then she said, 'It's a true report which I heard with my own which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I didn't believe their reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half of your wisdom was not told me. You surpassed the report that I heard. How blessed are your men. How blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you." See, she saw God's hand upon him. As a result, she gave him a gift. It says, verse 9, she gave the king 120 talents of gold. That's an incredible amount of money. She it came to about $3,500,000. She just dropped that on him while he was standing there. He'd take that off and leave it here, and just as a gift. Verse 23, and all the kings of the earth were seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart. And when God does it, it's right and it's complete. They came from all over to just sit at his feet. But it wasn't just egghead wisdom. It wasn't just theoretical knowledge. He had discernment and strength of character. Let me show you. 1 Kings chapter 4. You got to keep going back and forth because no part of this biography is just in one little section. So 1 Kings 4, 29. Yeah, that's it, 29. Not only wisdom and knowledge, but the ability to use it. That's discernment and strength. He wasn't just of a weak puppet of a king that had brilliance. He was strong in character. 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind. I take it that means that he was able to see the vast scene of the nation and could handle it all. He had the ability to see vistas in his sight and he could handle those needs as they sprang up. And he gave him breadth of mind like the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. It's incredible, isn't it? I won't take the time for the sake of time this evening to show you how he handles a particular problem that's brought to him, but it reveals real strength of character. And that's not bad for a 25-year-old man to have this kind of wisdom. He was a thing to behold. Third, he had riches and fame. Look at verse 20. We're right here, chapter 4. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand that's on the seashore in abundance. They were eating and drinking and rejoicing. That's the land. That's during his reign. That's the kind of lifestyle. They ate and drank and rejoiced. Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms, and it gives us the boundaries. His provision for one day was 30 cores of fine flour and 60 cores of meal. And 10 oxen and 20 pasture-fed oxen and 100 sheep besides deer, gazelle, roebucks, and fowl. Man, he had a set of cooks too, didn't he? When you read all of that, that's a day. So they lived in safety, 25. Every man under his vine and his fig tree. Someone said not only a chicken in every pot, but a fig on every vine or a grape on every vine. They were set up. It was incredible prosperity that fell from his reign over the people. Now, unfortunately, we have highlighted the wrongness of Solomon's life, and we haven't seen this incredible beginning. What a way to start a career. Now, you haven't heard the best part yet. When I talk about riches, look at, where is that? This talks about the horses. Chapter 10 of 1 Kings, verse 14. That's it, verse 14. Hold on. This is his annual income just in gold. Now, the weight of gold which came into Solomon in one year was 666 talents. That's been estimated to be between $20 and $25 million. That's not your basic Bible college student's salary, to say the least. $20 to $25 million bucks. And if that's not enough, verse 18, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with gold. And there were six steps to the throne and around the top to the throne at its rear and arms on each side of the seat, two lions standing beside the arm. 12 lions were standing there on the six steps. And verse 21, all of his drinking vessels were of gold. I can't stand it. All the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None was of silver. It was not considered valuable in the days of Solomon, for the king had at sea the ships of Tarshish with the ships of Hiram. He set up a whole export and import system. Once every 3 years, the ships of Tarshish came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. Wow. Man, this is some kind of man. We read elsewhere that he wrote of such things. He was a study of the life sciences, a student of such. He wrote psalms. He wrote proverbs. Songs and proverbs. Amazing mind. Chapter 10, verse 23, before we apply all of it. He became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom. 25, they brought every man his gift, articles of silver and gold, garments, weapons, spices, horses, mules, so much year by year. They've done some incredible excavating work, and the archaeologist Spade has uncovered verifications of this time and again. The stalls where the horses were kept, numbered in agreement with what you're reading here, verse 26, about the chariots and about the horsemen. He was an amazing man. Now, you know, I'm concerned as I wrap up our thoughts this evening, turn to Psalm 103, if you will, that we camp so much on the wrong, we don't take time to highlight the right. And I think that is unscriptural. It is also so discouraging. If the Lord didn't put a lot of stock in these things, then why would he have mentioned them? Well, he wouldn't have. But he sees them as important. He sees an income as important. He sees the way things are made as important, right down to the last detail. How many lions were around, and what kind of ivory, or what kind of throne was overlaid with ivory and with gold, and the whole beauty of this artwork is something that staggers imagination. We haven't even dealt with the temple, which became one of the wonders of the world. And we put that down. We speak of that as though it is material. Well, God called it to pass. He wanted those things to be things of beauty that bespoke his character and his glory, so that when people saw it, they said, "This kind of God is to be praised." Few people have done what Francis Schaeffer has done in our generation to bring back the significance of art and its place in our evangelical world, or its proper place. I don't think we're hearing him many. He says in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And then he adds in repetitious words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." We are so sin-oriented, so wrong, and our mentality camps so much in that area that we forget the benefits and his marvelous provisions. I name four for us to remember tonight and give God thanks for them. Number one, our minds. And I think of the wisdom and knowledge he gave Solomon, and I think it is a crime to let days and months pass without giving God thanks for the mind. Furthermore, letting it lie dormant, where if the truth were known, we use only a very, very small part of these brains of ours. I appreciated one of the men in our congregation passed on to me an article from Wall Street Journal, "When Values Are Substituted for Truth." And right in the middle of it is a very significant statement. Assembling facts takes time. And what takes time is the enemy of certain often popular fashions. The short school day, the short class, the short term, the portable module, the short mini courses. Students are rarely encouraged to do things that take time and care. In an instant culture, time and the time that meaning takes are an enemy. Are you gifted with a keen mind? Take time, cultivate it, develop it. Don't let our hurried instant society let it pass off. Hey, learn from Solomon that God takes delight in the use of knowledge. Our evangelical world can use it. Why is it that so many of the brilliance of our land become the liberals? Would to God he would raise up those who give thanks for the benefit of good minds. You're a student this fall, get with it. Just spend the next several weeks asking God to give you the diligence and what it takes to cultivate that mind of yours. Set a pace for yourself. If no one else in the class does it, you do it. I really urge you to hear his word tonight. Don't forget his benefit. The second benefit I want to camp on is your stability. Often, because of our tendency to do this, we leave out those comments that encourage people for their stability in the difficult times. We harp on times when we don't stand firm. But I want you tonight to think about, over these past several weeks, times of stability in your life, and give him thanks for that tonight. Discernment, when you used it. You came to the crossroads and you had to make decisions, and you made those decisions, and God honored it and built character in that experience. It wasn't easy, but you did it. Don't forget that. And don't fail to pass that on to family and to friends. Don't forget his benefit of stability. You slugged it out and God honored it. Keep slugging. Stand firm. The world needs you. Third is going to bother some, but I want to add this, our possessions. We are so down on possessions and down on anything that speaks of niceties and comforts that God gives that we hide them as though guilty of his provisions. And I see Solomon and all his glory, and I find Jesus referring to that, Solomon in all of his glory, and I think, why have we missed that? Has he blessed you with a good job? Give him thanks. Has he lifted your standard of living in the last several years so that you can enjoy some good things? Give him thanks. Don't poor mouth God. Give him praise for that provision. Now, don't set your heart on it. That became Solomon's downfall. He couldn't handle it all. But you have his blessing. Give him praise. Use it. Cultivate it. Don't forget his benefit. He's given you more sales this year than ever before. Give him praise. Recent promotion, give him praise. We're even told what Solomon's revenue was, and we gasp. Why did God mention it? Because God was pleased in it. Never once do I read where God said of Solomon's income, that itself was wrong. He could have taken back those things, but he didn't. Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge, and God says, I'll give you riches. The way we use them are as important as how we view them. But there is no place for guilt if God has provided it. Your mind, your stability, your possessions, and I find finally, as I mentioned, of Solomon's vision and skill, your hope. Your hope is often through your children. If you're family people, build into those lives so that they carry on those marks of your home. And sometime in your skills and your gifts. It's a strange way to close a message, isn't it? We're so used to being reproved and rebuked, we feel like something's missing and I need to harass us about something to make it right. No, 1,000 times no. God's people are to be encouraged. And if he has lifted your heart tonight so that you find guilt removed and the blessing that has come to you as an identification with Solomon, praise God. That is from him. You and I know how thin a wire all these things hang on. I want to say one more thing. I want God to have the freedom to use our assembly as a framework for the whole cross-section of needs of people. I'd love to see him cultivate some of the arts. And I'd love to see the Lord be honored in architecture and the provision of a broad section of music so that our people learn to appreciate those good things rather than have to go to some museum and pick it up. Why can we not be on the cutting edge of providing some of these beautiful things for God's people? I think it's overdue. And we wave, as it were, sort of passing hand at some of the other works and think, my, look at what they're doing. Look at that. I tell you, we have it by God's grace within our own ability to pull a lot of that off. Some of you highly gifted, capable, skillful artists can express for the evangelical world so many things they would never otherwise hear. Let us write the songs. Let us create the art, and let us be the pace setter so that our God would be lifted up. I'll tell you what else will happen. Our community will sit up and take notice. So that we have more than just a preaching center. We have a place where God's riches are not clothed in rags. Quality, through and through. I said a lot more than I planned to say tonight. Thank you. Thank you very much for listening to that. I feel deeply about that. And it's just coming out more and more as I see it in old Solomon. They came from all over to see what God had done. The problem there is that he couldn't handle it. And through God's grace and through his Spirit, we can. But he just keeps getting all the praise. He keeps getting all the glory. He can. Well, let's bow. Tonight, my friend, as your eyes are closed and as your heart is before the Lord, I hope this evening that a measure of clarification has occurred so that you're beginning to see God can use my mind. God can be glorified through the ministry of a local church as my life is expressed, my skills that God gave me in my own way, I can find expression. Maybe tonight God has said to you, for the first time in a long time, I'm pleased with where you're going. I find favor in your life. Don't stop. Keep it up. Maybe some moms here tonight getting a little weary, and you've heard you can duplicate those efforts through your family. And in fact, even in your own life, he can give you ways to do that. Lord God, thank you for helping us in these old ancient passages to see the relevance of them. We tend to substitute those quick little instant ditties for the profound things that you're saying. And we race over Solomon, hurrying onto his sin, and in the very process, we deny some of the beautiful things you did and even wanted to do through the skill and wisdom of his hands. God, I pray that you would give prosperity and encouragement to your people who walk with you. And I pray that you would help us to know how to handle it without guilt, without humiliation or shame or apology, and also without pride. In the whole process, help us to learn generosity and the joy of giving ourselves and our goods so that many, many might be blessed. Need a lot of balance, Lord, and I think that's what I'm asking for tonight. Encourage us also as we enjoy these good moments with each other, just being with each other. Warm us and encourage us. Make us rich people inside, thrilled with the body that you've put us into, the people you've connected to our lives, and all the people said, amen.
Concluding his first message in a six-part series on Solomon, you're listening to the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. Chuck titled this opening message, Stepping into Big Sandals. Here at Insight for Living, listeners often tell us how much they value Chuck's teaching on Bible characters. He has a way of bringing the men and women of the Bible to life. In doing so, we begin to project our own circumstances and our own emotions on theirs. This study about Solomon originated many years ago when Chuck was just beginning his pastoral ministry in California. And while his voice may sound much younger on today's program, it's clear that biblical truth never ages. All 6 sermons in the biographical series on Solomon have been digitally remastered, and they're available to purchase right now when you call 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/offer. You know, the succession of leadership or the transfer of one's ministry to the next generation isn't a new topic. It's as old as time. And Chuck wrote a brand new booklet on this topic. It's called How to Follow a Giant. And we're pleased to offer you a copy today. In this booklet, Chuck presents an intensely personal message about stepping into big sandals. Using the Bible as his guide, Chuck provides practical counsel for both leaders and those who succeed them. Plus, Chuck provides personal illustrations that will help you incarnate the truth in your own circumstances. You can request your copy of Chuck's booklet on How to Follow a Giant when you give a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living. You can do that in a letter addressed to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. That's Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Or call us at 800-772-8888. Or you can give your donation and request the booklet How to Follow a Giant by going to insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll offers what he calls Solomon in Living Color, Friday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Stepping into Big Sandals, was copyrighted in 1978, 1980, 1982, 1987, 1995, 2008, and 2024. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.